Now we are recording, and so welcome everybody. I'm very pleased to have Dana Martin with me here this second hour, along with Flash over in Denmark. Most people only talk about what needs done. Dana and her family are making the change where it matters most, at home. Welcome, Dana.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming. Been a fan of yours for a long time, and it was a new concept. This idea of unschooling, in a sense, and peaceful parenting. A lot of people, I imagine, look at you like you're a horrid demon or something at times.
Yeah, I'm pretty used to it. I've been advocating for peaceful parenting in one form or another for about 15 years now, and unschooling for about 10 years. People definitely wonder about me when they meet me. They either think that I'm a hippie, like totally, that I'm labeled a hippie a lot, interestingly enough, because when people hear the word peace, they throw it into a category. Or they feel as though it's a really kind of permissive, neglectful approach. That's what a lot of statists think. However, I like to educate people about it, and I feel like I have the ability to explain it to anyone that's willing to listen and bring it down to earth for them. And you'd be surprised how many people really grasp it once they're open enough to hear about it.
Oh my God, you don't beat your children?
My children have never, well, they've never been punished, actually, all four of them. And my oldest is 17 years old. He's going to be 17 in a couple weeks. I have a 14-year-old daughter as well, an 11-year-old daughter, and an 8-year-old son. So two boys and two girls. They've never been to school, and they've never been punished, and they've always lived this life from day one, so this is all they know.
They've been to real school, though, and school to life.
Right, exactly. They don't separate learning from life, which schools do in traditional homeschooling. They just learn as a side effect of living a rich, full, exciting life, pursuing their passions. And many people wouldn't believe that kids could learn that way, but I'm here to share with you that they can. And not only do they learn better in freedom, when they're internally motivated to grow knowledge in something that they're interested in, they learn so easily and so well, and it's such a positive experience. So I'm happy to break it down for you today.
Yeah, Devin, following what he does is so cool. I mean, learning to be a blacksmith and just all kinds of stuff, all those building projects, and it's pretty cool. How did you even come up with this idea? Because you're almost like a forerunner. If somebody was to look for information on this, then your name's going to come up.
Yeah, I definitely would consider myself one of the main voices in our culture about this movement. It's not something I planned. It just happened. I don't think you would necessarily plan to become an advocate. I just became so passionate about this life, and I knew that not a lot of people knew about it. So I started talking. People asked me to talk about it. And then before I knew it, we were on the Dr. Phil show, which started everything for us 10 years ago. And Dr. Phil himself was quite shocked. But amazingly enough, the message boards after that Dr. Phil show were the longest running message boards in the history of his show so far. They went for about 2.5 years.
Wow.
With people debating and going back and forth with it. So we knew it was a really hot topic. And yeah, I'm really happy to speak about it anywhere. Anyone that wants me to talk about it, regardless of whether it's a debate forum or a peaceful event, I'm there. I'm confidently sharing. So I guess I'm just passionate about it. A lot to say.
That's pretty amazing. How did you find your kids as far as their interest in learning things, and how did they seek out information? What resources did they have available? I know the answer to this question, but like when you was interviewing Devin, I was kind of chuckling to myself.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think in order for someone to really grasp what this is all about, they have to understand that they've been really brainwashed to see learning as being something really difficult and something that you have to force and that kids won't want to learn, and you have to like give them rewards and punishments and manipulate them to learn what you think they should know. But learning is supposed to feel good, and it people are only really truly going to learn something when they're internally motivated themselves. You can force a human being to memorize something, to jump through hoops, but that's not true learning. So most of what we did in school was not learning. It was forced oppression. We did what they told us to do so we wouldn't get punished and have more freedoms taken away. So when you look at the whole basis of what we went through, I think it's important to acknowledge that and to realize that if you would have been able to have the freedom to spend your time pursuing what interested you, you would be a master in so many things instead of, you know, I mean, a lot of us are, I guess, masters in what we're doing now. Freedom fighters and people seeking the truth are definitely in a different space. So I'm talking about the average person that just works for somebody else and is living a mundane life, jumping through hoops, waiting to finally be happy someday. But that day will never come unless they really realize what they've been put through. So, I mean, my kids learn through, I mean, it's a really hands-on perspective and it's a really hands-on role. I'm not my child's teacher, but I'm their mom and their learning facilitator. So the most important goal that I have is that they know how to learn, that you need to really support a human being in learning how to learn. And then the world is their oyster. So my kids are interested in something. I bring as many resources into their lives as possible to learn and grow from based on those interests. And it's pretty incredible what they have done. My son, Devin, is a blacksmith. He's out working right now in a forge that he built. We really wanted to facilitate this knowledge for him. So we found a blacksmith in our local area that he met. He connected with him early on to learn some safety stuff, hands-on, but the guy gave him a really cool anvil, and Devin's completely self-taught. He's learned through YouTube and through other resources. I bought him different blacksmithing books, and he makes knives and swords, and he also makes all his own clothes, and he weaves fabric, and he was recently asked by a production company, a movie that's being created about Vikings, if he would provide all the fabric for the costuming, so it's completely authentic. Oh, wow. So and as much as he can make, they will buy at over $100 a yard. So my son is already extremely successful, and he's so happy because he's making money off of what he loves. So this is the basis of it. And I always say a few things to people that raises a couple people get out about a few quotes that I use, but you guys are cool. I know you're going to understand them. So one of them I like to say is my unschooled child will hire your honor student. And the other one is, we're not raising worker bees here, we're raising free-thinking entrepreneurs. So my kids will always make a living, if they choose to, working for themselves, doing what they love. So freedom has given them the opportunity to fine-tune these incredible skills.
That's pretty amazing. I've been following your journey. You guys get to go all over the place. Recently, last year, I guess, anyways, to England and New York and Disneyland. I think your kids are getting a better education than people for private school.
Yeah, I mean, traveling, you learn so much. I think what limits a lot of people too, I mean, you could let me know if you agree, is a belief, like a mindset that people have of like lack and poverty. They think that it costs a fortune to travel, but there's always a way when you connect with other people who are like-minded. People want to help each other and they want to raise awareness about what you're passionate about. So you guys, for example, are doing something pretty incredible with this program and everything else you're doing. So when you connect with like-minded people, they want to bring that message and that perspective to the world. So you just work together to plan events and make things happen. And traveling can be a lot easier than people think.
Yeah, there's definitely venues, and especially when, like you, you're doing something so incredible that people want to be a part of that. So I definitely commend you for being a voice out there, and so many things that need to be talked about are being talked about more and more today, and thanks for the internet, and thanks Grimner right now for reallibertymedia.com and providing this platform for us to speak. You've done radio in the past, and hopefully sometime in the future we'll get you on radio right here at reallibertymedia.com.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, we got a spot for you.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, so thank you for having me on. And do you have any questions at all that you've wondered about? I know you followed our family. Is there anything that you've always wanted to know?
Well, I prevented myself from asking the one question that you'd probably get a lot, but I'll go ahead and ask it first anyways.
Sure.
How are your kids going to be social with not going to school? Of course, we already answered that. But
no, it's all good. That's like the biggest question that I think anybody with a child who doesn't go to school gets. And it's a really common one. And when you think about it, it means different things to different people. So sometimes if somebody asks me that question, I always say, well, what do you mean? Because socialization to a lot of people means how will they learn to obey? And that is pretty much the underlying question that people ask. And I just like to share that, you know, the reason I don't send my kids to school is because of the socialization there, that it's cruel and it's very, very unnatural to be age segregated. And I think when people really start to learn about age segregation, they learn how destructive it is to be conditioned to only hang out with people the same age as you. You begin to wonder, you know, what is socialization and did you ever really have it? And most people didn't.
Yeah, it's kind of a lie that you get to socialize in school, right? Because they punish you when you do.
Exactly. I mean, how many times did we hear as kids, you're not here to socialize?
Exactly.
Isn't that ridiculous? I heard it all the time, but yet it's the one question that people always ask. And they ask it as if they're going to, like, catch you. You know, like, oh, I'll get her. How are your kids going to socialize? It's like, my kids are not locked in a brick building all day, every day for 12 years. They're out in the real world while all the other kids are locked up. So my kids are out. In society, connecting with people all different ages and based on their interests is how they build their friendships and their social circles, not just because somebody's also 12 that they're sitting next to. I mean, it's a much deeper, profound socialization that's real, authentic, and, you know, holistic in comparison.
So what are your kids up to now? We know Devin. Yeah, that's an incredible guy right there. And And I have a visitor. Come in. I'm on the radio, bro. What's up, man?
Not much. How's everybody feeling today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I see they got it moved. So, say hi. You're on the radio.
Yo.
Walked in the door.
What's up? We're getting ready for the 420 report here in about 2 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, I like the 420 report.
Okay, so tell us, Dana, what are your kids up to?
Well, Devin's in the middle of a project. He's out in the woods right now. Actually, I'm in his bedroom right now, and I'm looking out the window. He's way out in the forest cutting down a tree. He's building a house on our property, and he's doing it completely by hand. He wants to do it exactly how it was done in the Viking age by hand. So that's his project. He's also has plans to go see his girlfriend in Virginia, and he's going to spend a month with her, and that's going to happen in a couple weeks. She's also unschooled. My daughter Tiffany is going to New York for a month. She's been into modeling and anything to do with fashion and beauty, and she's a YouTuber, so she's kind of more into a not mainstream, but more of a pop culture kind of career that she's into. She loves it. She's a beautiful human being, and I've written a lot about her on my blog. So if you go to danamartin.com, you can read that her highly sensitive nature, like how it got her into this space. So Devin is really busy with his business. He sells several knives and swords a week, and Tiffany is busy with modeling and prospects like that. And my daughter Ivy, who's 11, she's playing Grand Theft Auto downstairs right now. And she's more of a wild child out of all the kids. She's really into horror movies, and she loves heavy metal, and she's just kind of a hardcore girl. She's my buddy. She traveled with me to L.A. When I spoke out in San Jose. And Orion's 8, and he's really into a lot of different things right now, but typical 8-year-old boy stuff, I guess.
It's 420 somewhere, folks, and this report from the Buzz Booger at 420 is Cannabis Can.
In with the good, out with the bad. I got a question for you, though, Dana.
Sure, though.
Do you still recall the original thought you had when you decided to do this and what it was? You know?
Yeah, it's actually pretty powerful, so I don't know if you're ready for it. Are you ready?
Wait, hold on. I'll ask my wife to put her leg over me so she'll keep me down.
Okay.
I'm ready. Here, put your leg over here. So I need a leg.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, and it's kind of emotional for me to share about, but when my son Devin, who's almost 17, was born, I gave birth to him in a hospital with a midwife. He was my only hospital birth. The other kids, I all birthed at home, and Devin, I couldn't believe I did it. You know, I gave birth to him naturally. Now, I was always the biggest wuss. I didn't know anyone that was, like, into natural birth, and I did it. Like, I accomplished this amazing natural birth, and I remember holding him and saying over and over again, I have it on audio, on a tape, just saying over and over again, I did it. Like, I couldn't believe that this human being was inside me. You know, like, when you're pregnant, you kind of have the concept as a baby in you. You feel it, you're preparing. But then when you're actually holding it, I remember looking at him thinking, like, there was really a human in me. Like, I couldn't believe it, you know. And but then, like, an hour later, I was nursing him, and the nurses came in and asked if they could turn the TV on or if I wanted the TV on. And I said, sure, it doesn't matter. And they turned the TV on, and the Columbine shootings were happening live right then, right within an hour, you know, of my son's birth. And I remember just looking up with it in awe, like the school shooting stuff hadn't really been a thing up until that huge event, you know, and it was profound. And I remember they're showing it, like they were showing it live, kids jumping out of windows and mothers crying. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, how many of those kids didn't want to go to school that day? Like, how many kids were forced? How many of those parents wanted to be with their kids that day but didn't think that they had a choice? And I just remember looking down at Devin, like, with tears in my eyes, saying to myself, he will always have the choice to choose school or not. So it wasn't like it was a pinnacle moment where I'm like, oh, my God, my kid will never go because he's going to get shot. It wasn't a fear-based decision. It was just this awareness that there is no choice for kids in our culture, and I wanted them to have that. So it was right then and there, like right watching the Columbine shootings and giving birth to my son. Like, there has to be a reason that he was born that day, and like everything started for us then, you know. It was no coincidence. I just think everything lines up for a reason on your path, and that was right then and there. I just thought of the concept of him choosing, and my kids have always all had the choice and the freedom to attend or not. Of course, what human being would attend to be a, you know, make a choice to be oppressed and go through the abuse that kids in school go through? And of course, I don't believe they'd ever go, but they could if they wanted. So that was the moment. Quite a powerful answer, I'm sure, but
well, do you ever look back and this one's confusing to me, because I had a daughter, and I couldn't imagine if I had it all to do over again. The system had a tight grip on my wife that I don't at the time that I don't see I could. And it's really, you really made a good choice. Saved you a whole lot. Yeah, you were absolutely right. I went through it in the 90s, and I'm telling you, nowhere. That
right. That
education system and the crap that they try to sell as knowledge, shit that's not even true. It's not even worth knowing.
The whole thing is just a big scam. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And
it's a business. It's a business to be able to control the kids.
Exactly. And once you do that, like, learn about the history of schools and the mandatory nature of education, I only learned this really recently, but it was like in the late 1800s when schools became mandatory, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody knows, but it was a long time ago. And the first ever school, a mandatory school, 80% of parents refused it. 80% of parents initially said, no way, we're not like putting our kids in this system, no way. And they were forced by gunpoint, those kids, to go to the first ever mandatory school in Massachusetts. And it started everything. And when you read about the history of it, you learn that in like modern education is based on the Prussian model of education, which was designed to train factory workers. It was designed to train people how to be cogs in the wheel and how to keep them down, how to keep them dumbed down, because if they grew in their knowledge and entrepreneurship, then it was a threat to the government. And so people think that people like us are crazy. You know, they think that we're conspiracy theorists or that we're looking at all of this, you know, in a way like being anti-government. And although I am anti-government.
Ta-da!
But the funny thing is, like, I wasn't. That wasn't my motivating intention. I naturally evolved through not having kids in the system to see that. You know what I mean? Like, if you buy into all of that, you buy into government, you buy into all of the bullshit, and that's the first thing they want you to do with your kids. So, yeah, I never pictured myself being some radical, you know, mom, like not having kids in school and not, I would never, they've never done a curriculum. My kids have never done a workbook page in their life because that's all put out by the schools. Why on earth would I buy a curriculum based on, you know, education and make my kids do it against their will? But so this is a really natural, organic thing. And I think everybody has the right, every child has the right to have this freedom. So I guess
not
everybody
has the time.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to go about it, though. There's a lot of single mothers that live this life now, and people come together in communities to.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go about it. So it is a very involved, hands-on philosophy. Unschooling is definitely not for the lazy parent. However, you will hear the total opposite from mainstream media, like Dr. Phil, for example, that will push that this is neglectful, you know, when it's the most hands-on. To me, force and punishments and rules are the lazy way out. I mean, rules are a replacement for being there, for being present with your child.
Yeah, because little kids are more like puppies than anything, you know. They're harmless. You just got to constantly watch them or they'll burn the house down or, you know, break things. They're kids. It's what kids do.
Exactly.
And people get too excited over some of the most ignorant shit. And the stuff that's important, they neglect that.
I agree.
And it's the social norm through television and, you know, the way things are supposed to be.
Right.
And it works on about, what, 95% of the people that see it. And, you know, that's just the people that see it. Then there's other people that we'll never see that live in deserts and jungles and shit like that. And nobody's told them about the New World Order or asteroids or God or nothing yet. And they're still being left alone untouched. Or
and
so
you know
I've been told.
Sorry. Yeah.
Or at
I
least
mean,
so I've been told.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's exceptions, but I will say that, like, people, a book that I read when I was pregnant with Devin, which is a really good book if someone's becoming a parent, is called The Continuum Concept. And it's about this woman that goes into the jungle and she observes how people parent in those in tribal settings. And they're not constantly punishing. They're not counting, get off that tree, one, two, three.
Yeah.
They're not correcting and constantly judging. They are living life side by side with their kids, and their kids are learning as a side effect of being with them. And it's just a much more peaceful, happy way to be, because if you're not spending your time controlling another human being all day, I mean, you find happiness when you're assisting them and giving them information. So my life with my kids is like, you know, I look at them like you would look at, like if a foreign exchange student came to stay with you, how would you share with them the customs of the world and of your culture and what was appropriate and what wasn't? And you would do it respectfully and politely. You wouldn't be grounding them and punishing them when they made mistakes. You would be helping them. And
right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It brings to mind for me, how do you, speaking of control, how do you keep from the government or whatever the school district and all that, how do you keep them at bay? Because I'm pretty sure you had to have had to go some rounds with them at some point in time.
Well, unschooling is legal in all 50 states. You just have to know, you know, there's different laws in every single state. So connecting with other people doing it in your state is important. We have a Facebook group called Unschoolers Seek, where it's broken down by state, and you can connect with a community of unschoolers there to find out how they do it. New Hampshire, luckily, is in 2012, they became a free state in regards to home education. So we only need to register our kids once, and you don't hear from them again, generally. But it wasn't always like that. Our kids used to have to, hire an evaluator, but we found out about unschooling-friendly evaluators. So there are retired teachers who are now living this life with their kids. Because this life is valid and it works and it's true learning. So I think that's the important thing to realize is that a lot of teachers get this. And they're out there offering their services to basically what they do, like when you hire an evaluator that's an unschooling friendly one, they break your child's life experiences down into what we call schoolies. So they break it down into schoolie terms, schoolie experience kind of definitions to be able to write on the transcript or the evaluation for the school board to see. So for example, we went to Australia where I spoke there once and I shared with the evaluator everything we did. I wrote it on my blog and she would break down, Devin met some primitive people in Australia, the Aboriginal, and he spent some time with them. And so, the teacher broke that down that he learned about Aboriginal history. It was all true, but you have to learn how to translate life experience into, again, schoolies. And that's the only difficult part for some people, but there's always people ready to help if somebody needs help.
And that's pretty amazing education that your children are getting.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. I mean, I know not everybody has these opportunities, but I do want to share that, like, when your kids are pursuing their passions, if travel is something they want to make happen, you can make it happen. There's a group called Unschooling Couch Surfers. Have you ever heard of the whole couch surfing movement?
Yeah, I'm a couch surfer myself.
Cool, yeah, there's unschooling couch surfing families. So, like, you can travel to a different country and, like, do a home exchange with families, or you can go visit other families in other cultures, and I think that's a really important part, personally, for life and learning, is learning how small the world is. And have you guys ever heard of Ken O'Keefe? Do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
No. I met him at Anarchapulco, and he has a whole movement going, which is really powerful. You should Google search him, because I don't want to give him an incorrect definition of who he is, but he denounced his U.S. citizenship and tried to burn his passport, and a bunch of stuff happened as a side effect of that. But he has a Wikipedia page.
Tell me his name one more time. I was looking for that couch.
look up Ken O'Keefe. Anyway, he has a whole concept that he... I haven't spoken with him since the conference, but he mentioned that he'd like to have me as an ambassador, part of this program called a World Citizen, the idea of breaking down all the cultural walls and just realizing that we're all citizens of the world and we all are part of it, and how to learn from each other and so forth. So he's a really cool guy, and learning that, the world is ours to take care of, the world is ours to learn about, that there's different people and cultures, and that's how you grow and evolve as a person, to learn about other people and their societies. So that's something important to me and my family.
Cool. Yeah, I dropped his link into the chat room there. I'm going to click follow on WordPress. I've been dropping your links also over there for people to find you. You got some real nice pages there. A lot of great information.
Thank you.
Very easy to follow. So, let's see, Unschooling Couch Surfing. What was that site that I'd be looking for, I reckon?
Well, I think you got to go to Facebook to initially find it. Just look up Unschooling Couch Surfers, I think it's called.
Okay. Okay, so now I've definitely interrupted the wrong.
Okay. It's okay. Lou, are you in Denmark, the country Denmark?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were in, like, Denmark, Maine or something. I don't know.
No.
Okay.
No, don't let the accent fool you. I'm from California.
Okay. My son Devin would love to go to Denmark. And Norway, Denmark, all of those countries over there, Scandinavia, is really into learning about Viking history.
Mm. He'll enjoy it too. Yeah, the town that me and my wife live in is famous for making cannonballs.
Really?
Yeah. And the people that
why'd you decide to move there? But I'm sorry to interrupt you. Finish your thoughts.
Because my wife didn't want to come to the States.
Is she from there, obviously?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she was born and raised in Copenhagen, and she liked that better. So I broke down, and I'd already been away from America for a bit, so it didn't really matter if I went back to the States or not.
Right.
So I'm just, so yeah, now I'm just not, I'm not probably going to ever come back.
A lot of people are leaving the U.S. for that reason. It was fascinating going to Mexico and seeing all the expats that lived in Mexico, all the Americans that moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hearing why, like it's crazy in a good way.
Well, it's that society is a shared illusion based on lies.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get a really good grip of that idea and you live to not play in it as much as you possibly can, whatever level you're willing to go to, then life gets a little easier.
I never knew what pressure parents felt, really, until I started really getting out there and learning about the whole anarchist mindset, the whole voluntarianism, and learning about that, and that I had been living that way. And basically what we're doing in our home, living peaceful parenting in a partnership dynamic instead of the authoritarian one, I learned that we were basically doing what other people are doing in regards to government and not wanting to be part of any of that. And do you know Adam Kokesh? Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I remember Kokesh from when I was in the States.
He wrote a book called Freedom. It's like a small pocket-sized book, but it is so good. Right now I'm learning. I mean, I'm in constant state of learning. Like, I love learning about anything I can having to do with freedom. And he was sharing in his book that, like, property tax is like paying rent. Like, you don't really own your house. You have to pay property tax. And
right.
I'll tell you, man, was it painful going down this morning to pay that property tax bill after being woken up to what it was. But if you don't pay it, they throw you in a cage, so.
Yeah, it's extortion.
Hey, guys, excuse me a minute. I'm going to step away from the mic for a moment. I'll be right back. You guys are doing a great job. So.
Okay. Thanks, Vincent.
For interrupting.
It's okay.
And basically, what I agree with, what you're talking about is we've all been raised in under lies, stuff that the people that tell you these things know they're lying, and they tell it to you anyway. And when you become an adult, you have no defense against the real world because you don't even know what it is yet. And I think it's a shame that that's what society's become.
Exactly. And not only that, but they tend to bully those of us that are living this life. And it's crazy. The older you're, like when your kids are really little, like I found my kids were young, babies and toddlers, and we were living this life. A lot of people could grasp it. A lot of people were living in freedom. There's a movement called detachment parenting where you let go of the whole authoritarian mindset and you just trust your kids. And my kids were never put in a crib because they always wanted to be with us. They breastfed till they outgrew the need. There was never this age that I said, okay, you're done because, you know, the doctor told me you should be. Like, I always just tuned into them. And when you're younger, a younger parent, other parents really kind of get that, that you have quite a community. But as my kids grew and everybody's kids started hitting school age, they couldn't take the pressure anymore. Like, it's hardcore. Like, the pressure that parents feel to conform.
Mm.
And nobody wants to be me. You know, that's the way I look at it. Like, nobody would want to live with the kind of, if you would have told me way back then, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that what I would go through as a result of choosing my children's freedom, I don't know if I would have been brave enough to do it. However, I still turned to, I turned to them from the beginning, and I trusted them and put them first. But yeah, it's amazing how many lies were told. It makes me so upset.
Yeah. All right. Well, the average Joe thinks we're all a bunch of lunatics that have been eating cornflakes with our left hand far too long. And
right. The way we do it.
Well, when you're dealing, okay, well, the point of that crack was when you're dealing with a mindset that resorts to that kind of behavior, you already lost. There's no convincing them of anything. They already know everything. And that's a lot of, and when you ask them, name one sitting Supreme Court justice How many of them can do it? How many of them can name three? But they'll know the one that just died because it was all over the media.
Right.
And these people allow SCOTUS to run their life. Are you lunatics? 40-year mortgages and no way. Registering guns and cars and shit. You read the fine print. The registration means that you don't own it anymore. Now you got to pay tax to use it. Man, that's not a game I was ever going to play.
I think that's what, like, it's, I don't think people are ready to grasp the level of manipulation and abuse. Mm. And that really is abuse. That it all is. Like, to own that and to feel that and to integrate that is pretty hardcore for people. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's, like, validating. Like, I remember being a kid and feeling like all that oppression was so wrong. I felt like I was treated, like, so bad, and something inside me knew it, but, you know, you're so brainwashed and you're so beaten down and so conditioned for so long, you forget it. So in order for someone to grasp something like this, for example, like unschooling or living in this paradigm, it's almost admitting that they were right all those years, and it kind of opens them up to, like, really feeling all of that pain again. And you have to, like, go through it and feel it and acknowledge it to then, like, heal and evolve and grow to this point. But not everyone wants to deal with it. Plus, half of our fucking country is, more than half, is medicated by, you know, pharmaceutical companies, and they're on every drug imaginable, so they cannot evolve.
Right.
And
agreed.
So there's so much to it that's so difficult for people, and
they're being experimented on, like laboratory mice, right? But they are the ones that won't believe that part of the sentence. They stop listening when you try to tell them that you're being conned. They're going to go vote for Trump so that Trump can fix things. Well, no, he's going to do what his boss is telling him, just like the last 44 did. What do you get out of your mind?
Right.
Yeah, it's all a big performance, and some people play into this game so much that they really think there's a piece of cloth to defend, and you know, I mean, what? Look at how you treat your people. That tells you everything. And all the things that you hear from, you know, most of the freer countries is complaining.
Right.
And they're complaining about the results of the things that they did that they should have not did, like attack other countries and create refugees. Or have a government that's so corrupt that they fuel the fire with one hand and they pretend to put it out with the other. Like with immigration. A country of immigrants is now, it's now got an illegal immigration problem. Come on. How make-believe do you have to get before your regular guy goes, hey, there's something wrong with this story? But they keep...
Right, I was going to say, and that framework is so many different things in our lives. Like, what you just said, you said that, like, they caused the problem, that they try to solve the problem that they caused, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah. It's misdirection.
Right. Well, it's the exact same thing, and I'm just going to share with you, as a parent, as a mom, I've written two books. I wrote a book about birth, and in my book called Sexy Birth, I talk about that doctors cause the very problems that they're then solving. And not only, like, if a woman wasn't in a hospital and she birthed at home with, like, a certified, or not certified, educated midwife, or even unassisted, but that might be too out there for you guys. I don't know how hardcore this show is yet. I might have to bring you guys up to speed unassisted birth. I'm just giving you a hard time. Come on.
Right. No, but I look at it like this. I'm not going to have any babies. So whatever you come up with, I'm agreeing with it because you're the girl. How's that for a stand on female issues?
I love it. But
when it affects me, I'll make a decision.
Well, you know, you're gonna know people. You're gonna have family or friends that are pregnant, and we always know somebody in our circle, you know, that is. And when you're in a hospital, the interventions that they suggest cause C-section. They cause problems. And they're all to make money. Do you think a doctor wants to go in and wait for a woman to be in labor naturally for the 16 hours or whatever and make, you know, $4,000 when he could just come up with some emergency and then cut into you and in 20 minutes be home with 12 grand in their pocket. No effing way are they going to respect the natural process. So they have complete control the second you walk into that institution. And they'll, all they have to do is be like, ooh, the heart rate seems a little bit, it's a little fast for me. I recommend a C-section. And so you're like, thank God I was here. You saved my baby. Wow. You know, and it's the biggest scam. And I've been a doula for 15 years. So people hire me to go with them to the hospital to give birth to kind of, you know, protect them from that. And I do. I've seen some hardcore, what we call birth rape. That's what it is. You're cutting into a human so you can make money. And it just really upsets me. And so what I'm saying is that framework that you mentioned about the government, it starts at birth. Mm-hmm. And then it goes all the way into school. And, like, then they diagnose ADHD. Yeah. They diagnose these issues and then drug their kid. And then you're like, thank God they were in school to catch these problems.
Yeah, right. Fall for the story.
All the freaking scam. All feeding off people's insecurities because they were never allowed to grow to be the full, confident human beings that they were meant to be. So it's like this cycle of craziness and
slaves.
Exactly.
Debt slaves. It's nothing funny about that at all.
No.
You're being cheered on, Dana, in chat.
Awesome.
Yes. Go hardcore, Dana.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Well, I mean, I just want people to be aware it starts in the beginning and it preys on your fear. You have been conditioned to fear so much. And you don't have to. And the more you get away from it, like it starts with birth. That's what it was for me. When I did it under my own power, despite the pressure to cave to drugs, despite the pressure of all the fears of what could happen, I did it on my own. And I was born then like a different human being. Like, wow, like I was born a fiercely protective, intuitive mother. And if I would have been drugged and had that taken from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I would have been rescued by a doctor, if I had to be saved by my own, you know, body's dysfunction, I may not even be doing this. And so it's extremely important to connect from the beginning with people that, like, get this mindset and empower you to, like, safely birth your baby at home, whether with a midwife or on your own, and it'll start you on a completely different trajectory. So
it was the doctors. I read about this a couple months back on the internet. It was the doctors that pushed the midwife away from the birth business.
Totally.
And today's doctors have less to do with the birth than the nurse does, and they get all this credit for shit that's not real. This is made up.
Well, the interesting thing is, yeah, exactly, exactly. And the interesting thing is doctors, medical, like obstetricians, they don't know anything about natural birth. They have a total of 10 to 15 minutes of education on natural birth in their fucking training. That all they know is medicalized birth. So if you're going into the hospital, you're going to get a medicalized birth. You will get intervention. You will not be able to connect with your baby in the way that you were meant to. And all these hormones are like, your body's built like for this whole physical and emotional process of being able to bond and imprint on your baby, to imprint on you, and all this stuff to take place to start this whole connection, you know. And it's interrupted, and it's not a mistake. It's on purpose. It's interrupted for money. It's interrupted to distance a baby from day one.
Yep.
from their mother and the baby, you know, and from her mother's own instinct. Like, what happens when you say to yourself, like, I wasn't even capable of birthing my baby. My body was broken. A doctor had to save me. You're never confident enough. You're never confident enough to go on and even consider walking down a path like this. So I know there's exceptions, but generally, you know, if your body doesn't do what you think it's supposed to do, and people don't even know that they were birth raped ever. And then when you try to bring this awareness to them, you know what kind of, because they know deep in their cells, man, that I'm right. You know, they know were robbed.
As a guy listening, I would agree with what you're saying. I mean, I believe what you're saying. It makes perfect sense. You know, and without being able to go through it, I mean, just from a, what do you call that? From a distance.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
not really empathy, more. Yeah. Well, yeah, I lost the word. I'm kind of high now, but, you painted a really good picture of it.
Cool. And I think when fathers realize this, and grandfathers, I've been a child birth teacher, and when you bring this awareness to them, they then can be a partner and fiercely protect their partner in that situation to make sure that doesn't happen. So the guy's role, the father's role in birth is really essential to remind the woman when she is scared and when labor gets tough that you can do this. You know, we, and if the father is not educated about natural birth and the, how important all these things are I've talked about, then he will then get scared too and encourage her to get drugs because he can't hold the space for the pain.
Right.
Unless he knows it's normal and natural.
Yeah. Yeah, and then of course that man stronger than woman thing is one in one respect, but as far as pain threshold goes, they register it medically in a whole nother way, and the woman is physically stronger.
Right, it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it just goes to show that I agree with you in a lot of areas because I believe that what society throws at you and shoves down your throat is probably the worst thing for you. And every time I hear something explained in more detail, like you've been doing about how you raised your kids, people think, first thing I thought of was beating the law because I grew up with the law. And
right.
So it's as unfamiliar to me to not deal with them as it is familiar to you to have to.
Right.
And it's the other side of the coin. So I got to wonder, wow, I wonder what a life of not having to deal with the police all the time is like.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe
exactly.
It is a normal thing for you to think in the morning, but I was assuming by the way you were talking about your kids that you didn't live that kind of wild life, you know, yet.
No, I mean, I don't even think about government. I'm not even part of any of that, even though I live here. And we live the most free life that we possibly could. We live on 43 acres of family land. And, you know, we just are happy doing what we love all day. I mean, including that, like this kind of thing, like talking to people about it. This is my passion. Like nothing fuels me more than to be able to connect with people like you guys and share with you and be heard because and be understood.
Yeah.
When
yeah,
you live in a culture that can't hear, people that think you're crazy, you know. I hold
absolutely.
You guys, I'm sure you know what it's like. It's you have to be willing to be so confident that you have empathy. I mean, I have compassion for people that think I'm nuts. I feel bad for them all because they just don't, you know. Like I'm not angry. I'm not making it about me. It's not about me. I just feel bad that they're conditioned to look at me like I'm nuts. You know.
Yeah, I do know. Because I'm the guy, I've got gray hair now, and I'm the guy with hair down the middle of my back and a beard, dark glasses. So, yeah, socially, I don't fit in the social thing, no matter where I go.
What do you think people think about you when they see you?
I don't think about it. I don't know. I smile back, say hi or whatever. Whatever's appropriate for the moment. And then the ones that want to practice speaking English and show off a little bit to their friends, they talk to me when they're, you know, when we encounter.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really nice, peaceful, quiet village. It's like a village with a few cars, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've created a great life for yourself.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, it would be if I had to listen to me talk, I'd think, okay, come on, you're pulling my leg, right? That didn't really happen, but it's me, and most of my stories are, well, come on, you didn't really do that, but I did it, and then here I am, and there's really nothing bad to say about the circumstances, and we're dealing with people online who are desperately in need of some good news, but they don't want to hear it.
Right.
Well, I understand where that. Yeah, well, I lived there for 50 years. I know what America is all about. And it's if you know how the gears really work as opposed to the way they tell you they work, it gives you an advantage in one respect, but it stops you from having a life on paper. And that, in another respect, kind of hurts you.
Yeah, I mean, I like to look at it the way it feels to me. I think most people who are conditioned and just living, accepting everything, they live a pretty flatline life. You know, the energy and the emotions and experiences are pretty flatline. And this life, on the other hand, of freedom and awareness and, you know, being in an evolutionary space of being on the edge of, like, the awareness of all of this, it's really intense emotionally. You go from like ecstasy, joy, gratitude to like being angry, you know, like it's just up and down emotionally so much when you're living freedom, because you see what's happening, you get so upset, what can I do, and desperate. And but then on the other hand, because we've chosen this, I'm so grateful. Like as a woman, I was always, you know, as a young girl, teenager, I was always so insecure, you know. I hated speaking in front of people. I thought I looked ugly when I looked in the mirror. I had low self-esteem. I dealt with anorexia. I mean, you name it. It was a typical, awful, but typical upbringing. And right now I can honestly say that out of anything I ever regretted in my life of that I've done or did or felt, I am so proud of who I am as a mother. And that is the most important thing. Like I have no regrets. I can't believe, like my son's almost an adult. We did it. You know, Devin is kind of the poster child in a sense with the subculture kind of that look to him at like, wow, they have been observing us. Like, is this experiment going to work? You know,
it worked.
Oh my God. You wouldn't believe it's amazing. Yeah. And yeah, I love Vince that you've been, you know, keeping track of our family. That it just feels like an extended family that kind of watches us and has our back and supports us. It feels really good.
Well, what I'm Vince good at is the one finding people that are good at what they're doing.
Then he connects us all together.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm very pleased and proud that you came on along today. I was going to ask you to tell us as we close out how allowing your children to be free thinkers, that they were better equipped for life, with some final thoughts here as we go to the end of the hour. And oh, before let me say danamartin.com, also your blog spot, the Sparkling Martins, and also the title for the YouTube page. And follow Dana on Twitter, Dana Martin. And I really appreciate you coming. You guys had a great conversation. I woke up in the kind of ill side this morning, so I've been way under the weather. And you guys did a really good job. I appreciate you, Flash. Good conversation today. And our first hour guest, she sent her regards and enjoyed the show as well. So, and some other comments. And we'll upload this to YouTube later, and I'll bring the link data. So I'm going to let you close it out. And thanks for listening, everybody. This is Freaker Friday, by the way. Grammy Mary's rocket chair is a little later tonight in the Freakers Ball. And we'll see if the Demon A-tracks, or reel-to-reel, but the real Demon A-tracks, whether he will be playing some music tonight. And with that, I hand you the mic, Dana.
Well, I mean, I would just like to tell people, don't be afraid to face the pain of your childhood and the way you were raised, and acknowledge within yourself that it could have been better, because it's only through feeling that, acknowledging that you were oppressed and that you were treated, you could have been treated better, but you know, most people did the best they could with what they knew. I mean, it's only through walking through that fire that you're going to come out the other side to be able to share with people and support people that are choosing to do something different. So the world's evolving, and I'm happy to be one of the voices on the forefront of this human evolution for the rights and respect that all children deserve. So thank you so much for having me. And if anybody ever wants to connect that has kids, I do parenting coaching. I'm happy to chat with you. I can give you the information on that. Or you could check out my book, Radical Unschooling, A Revolution Has Begun, or Sexy Birth, which is the prequel. And it talks all about what I talked about with birth. And yeah, I'm just so grateful to have had this conversation with you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thanks a bunch. It was great.
I wish you were my uncles.
We can be.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, guys. Have an awesome night.
You too. Talk to you later. I'll catch up with you a little later on.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So I'm going to hit the stop over here. Pause.